Alright, it's morphin' time! Dragon Sword!
This is Jason David Frank, and you are listening to This Week in Geek, and it's morphin' time.
Did you grow up with the NES, PlayStation, Star Wars, cartoons, and 80s TV? Do you like to think who would win in a fight between Batman and the Master Chief? Comics, games, movies, music, and TV, they're gonna tell you everything you need. Superheroes or not, they got your back, they're gonna save the world of geeks. Games, movies, music, and TV, they're gonna tell you everything you need. Superheroes or not, they got your back, they're gonna save the world of geeks. This Week in Geek. This Week in Geek.
I'm twisted up inside, but nonetheless I feel the need to say,
hey guys, what's going on? You are listening to This Week in Geek, and I'm your host, Mike the Birdman Dodd. Well guys, the year's beginning to wind down, and that means it's time for me to pull up the big guns, finish strong before we take our holiday hiatus from about the 15th till about January 15th. And this interview, I did not expect to happen in any way, shape, or form. If you guys have been watching television on Tuesday nights, there are two shows you guys know that I can't miss. One of them being ABC's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., which is friggin' awesome. And another one is the one that follows immediately after this. Now, this is a show that I didn't quite know what to make of it at first. Because it's set in the 80s, it's about a kid growing up, and I'm thinking, alright, it's got my interest so far, but let's see what they got. And this show is called The Goldbergs. I have not missed an episode since this show has started. Hilarious. I've actually broken several laws to get home in time to watch said show, and I actually got a retweet from Clark Gregg from S.H.I.E.L.D. Congratulating me on breaking the law. So, on Twitter, I started contacting and conversing with the official account, and then I found the guy behind it, Adam Goldberg, and he started responding to me on Twitter. So first off, holy shit, that's awesome. And then we started talking back and forth, and I decided, you know what? What's it going to hurt if I ask for an interview? And surprise, surprise, we actually got one. So that's who we're going to be talking about today. We're going to be talking to Adam Goldberg, the creator of the Goldbergs. And he's actually got a fair bit of nerd cred behind him. He actually worked on a movie a couple years ago called Fanboys, which if you're a nerd, you've probably seen by now. If not, go check it out. It's quite funny. But we're here mostly to talk about the Goldbergs. Without any further ado, trying to contain my excitement, welcome Adam Goldberg to the show.
Thank you for having me.
I gotta say, Adam, this is pretty hype. I've been looking forward to this interview for a number of weeks, and I just want to congratulate you on your success of the show, getting picked up for a full season.
Yes, very exciting and very overwhelming, but I'm thrilled I get to tell 10 more stories about my family.
I gotta say, your family is interesting, and the fact that you still have those VHSs to put into the show is amazing. So tell me about the origin story of how it got to be from a bunch of VHSs growing up to the thing that it is now.
Sorry, I just had a little phone problem there. So basically what happened was I went into Happy Madison. I was trying to figure out after Fanboys where I was going to do my first TV pilot, and of course, just, you know, growing up, watching Adam Sandler on SNL and loving, you know, in college, Billy Madison, Happy Gilmore. The one place I wanted to do my TV show was with Happy Madison. So I went in there and I met Doug Robinson, who's the person who runs the TV side. And he, was like, you know, here are some things you might want to consider, an office show, a family show. And I started talking about my family and mentioned these videotapes. So this was years ago. He said, why don't you, you know, bring these tapes back and let me check them out? Because I said, I have just hundreds of tapes, and on every one is some family meltdown. So I went back, I showed him my tapes, and he was like, okay, this is a show. And at that point, I just didn't know what it was. I was like, okay, you know, I know that the characters, I know I could pitch my family members as characters because they're all so ridiculous, but, you know, how do you convert a bunch of videotapes into a show? So it really took about 7 years of me just kind of incubating the idea. In between, I did the show Breaking In for Fox with Christian Slater, which I loved and kept getting canceled and picked up. And the whole time, I just had in the back of my head this family show idea. And it wasn't until Breaking In got canceled where I basically, I thought, why don't I literally take the tapes and just do a Wonder Years type show set in the 80s? Because that's what the tapes are. They're from me, you know, being an idiot, you know, making ninja movies in my basement. So that was kind of how the pitch came about. After years of knowing that I had this family show in me, not knowing what it was, I kind of, you know, took a page from the Wonder Years, and yeah, just kind of formulated my pitch. And what I did was I edited together some of the best of from my tapes, a lot of the arguments and the fights and the crying, and I went around all the networks and I just played the tape and I said, this is the show. You know, these are the characters, my mom, Beverly, my dad, Murray, Barry, me, and then Pops, and then that was it. Then I wrote the pilot and we shot it. It was kind of crazy.
Now, having a chance to look back on some of these tapes and having to make them funny for, like, kind of sitcom material, basically, what has been left on the cutting room floor from, like, some of these tapes?
A lot. There's a couple things that Barry is like, you're not allowed to show that. So there's just some particularly embarrassing fights, tears, crying, screaming, that I think goes beyond, like, haha, you can, let's show a little clip and embarrass me in front on national television. The karate episode, which airs not tonight, but next week, I do a karate routine, which was so embarrassing that I'm like, I just can't do it. And I showed it to the writers and they're like, you have to put it in. So, you know, I can embarrass myself, but when it comes to embarrassing my family members, I respect them, and there's a couple videos I just won't show.
Now, one of the things, Adam, that I want to know, does the cup from the episode Stop Arguing and Start Thanking, does that cup still exist?
The Barry Cup?
Yes.
It does not. It has been lost to time.
Oh.
You know, like, Barry and I made up so many games. You know, we had a pool growing up, and with so many of our games also were played in that pool, and we would like hang the hose and make a net, and the games were really intricate. And the thing that I love about ball was, there was also a game I played with my neighbor, Chad Kremp, who was from the Kremps episode. You know, I didn't realize that that was a universal thing, that, like, everyone made up a game, like, growing up, that we all had our stupid, like, amalgamation of hockey, soccer, baseball all rolled into one. And I just thought it was going to be a funny idea just to show this stupid basement sport we played on our knees. And then, you know, people were like, post the rules, I want to play. And people kind of on Facebook messaging and saying, like, here's our game that we played growing up. I didn't realize it was going to be such a universal thing. That was cool to see.
Now, with the show being a, like, period piece set in the 1980s, and I like how it's never specified what year it is. And actually, that's very much what drew me to the show, is the fact that it was this period piece. What's it like to work with the set designers to make sure they get certain details right? For example, you had a GoBots command center in one episode and a Ghostbusters poster, which those released years apart, but it seemed just to fit so well. So how do you create a period piece like this that speaks to young and old people?
Well, yeah, I mean, let me answer the question by first saying, you know, to set it in 1980-something was, like, was a very conscious choice, because I'm a big, you know, look, I'm a geek. I'm a stickler for this kind of stuff. So when the show got picked up and I was sitting down to think of episodes, if I was to, let's say, set it in 1983, you want your show to go 6-7 years, that brings you to the end of the 80s, it was so limiting. I literally wouldn't be able to have my favorite Transformer, Perceptor or Metroplex in there. Those were from the late 80s, and that was a huge bummer, and it just kept spiraling out of control. I couldn't do Power Glove. I couldn't do, I couldn't, like you said, I couldn't have the Command Center and the Ghostbusters poster in the same shot, so I couldn't do half the episodes I wanted to, and at that point I only had like 12 episodes. So I decided we started, the writer started talking, and it was like, when you look back, you don't remember what year it was when you won Legend of Zelda. You remember you were maybe in 7th or 8th grade or 6th grade, and it was sometime in the 80s. So, you know, we were kind of like, if this is a show looking back, memories are hazy. You don't remember what poster was on the wall. You don't remember what you were wearing. So we just kind of came up with this idea that it was like an unreliable narrator who was recalling things in a hazy way. And it was just a way for us to have fun with all of those movies and props and TV shows and games that we grew up with, and not really be kind of like hampered by the time period. And it's really a lose-lose, because even in the Wonder Years, you go on the message boards, and it's like everyone's pointing out what's wrong, and I thought that show did it wonderfully. So it's like everyone's going to have those issues, so the only thing I thought to do was to just let me do my Power Glove in season one, and just set it in the 80s in general. And it's a weird choice to some people, but creatively it's like so freeing for me. So coming up with those props, I literally sat down. I'm so specific. Doug from Happy Madison, the producer I was talking about earlier, like makes fun of me because I don't care about the time of day. People will be like, is this noon? Is it the end of the day? I'm like, I don't care. Some people will say, literally time-wise, this makes no sense. All this stuff is happening in one day, but it can't be. And I'm like, no one notices. It's fine. But then Doug will make fun of me that, some G.I. Joe toy isn't correct. So I sat down and I went through in my office is packed with a lot of my toys from childhood. So I'm a collector of figures, and I went through all the things that I wanted on the set, and they just got it all off of eBay. I got to form, Adam's room was like my dream room from childhood. All the lunch boxes I ever wanted, all the figures. There's one thing coming up where Adam is making a Transformers movie with his toys, and I literally did freeze frames of my movies, and I said, buy these Transformers, buy these Godaikins. So it's no joke, man. I take that really seriously. I made them buy a $3,000, G.I. Joe aircraft carrier, the flag. I mean, they were like, are you crazy? We can't spend $3,000 on a toy. So I justified it by making a full episode around it. Just so we could have it on the set. It's important to me. So they did it. But yeah,
now,
pretty cool.
Now, let me ask you this. After the show's over, tell me that goes home with you.
It does not. It goes into a giant warehouse that Sony owns. They own it all. So I can buy it from the show. Which I did a couple costumes on Breaking In that were particularly awesome. I went away with because I did a lot of kind of like pop culture stuff on that show. Every episode was kind of referencing a movie or something. So on the last show, I got a couple things, but I wish I could get that aircraft carrier. Although it's so huge, I don't even know where I'd put it.
It doesn't matter. It's the flag. You find a place to put that.
It's true. It's true.
And that's one thing that I really love about your show is it's such a love letter to geeks and nerds of the era. And it's like it's cool to see you actually have that attention to detail. The fact that you're making a Transformers movie really, really makes me want to see what's going to happen later on this season. Now, when the show got picked up for a full season order earlier in November, how many episodes did you have planned out at that point?
I think at that point we were pretty far ahead because there were so many, you know, this was a show where I knew what it was right away. I knew what the characters were right away just because I lived it. And there were so many stories that I had that I wanted to tell. So as far as first year shows go, I was very far ahead. And when it got picked up, I probably already had about 10 episodes written, which was great. Once we got that back order of another, I think, 10 so I had 10 of the 12 initially. So I'm like, oh, only two left. And then I got another 10. And then it was like, okay, here we go. So that's when you start to panic a little bit because there's just so many episodes. And the board that you have in the writer's room filled with episodes and you feel so proud of it goes away. And now it's blank again. And you're like, oh, my God, what have I done? But, it's pretty daunting. But we've really never struggled for episode ideas. There's been a couple days where we have a concept that we're stuck on, but it's never like one of those days where you're like, I've got nothing. Because it's just pulling some story from your childhood, and everyone has those stories.
Now, one of the things that I really like about the show is some of the casting that has been done. In particular, the guy that plays Barry, Troy, how do I pronounce his last name?
We say Gentile.
Gentile.
I think it's Gentile, yes. It's ironic that on the Goldberg show we have a guy with the last name of Gentile.
There's something about the way that he portrays your brother Barry that just seems so natural, and there's something about the entire cast. It just seems to gel. When you were like casting the show, did you know these people were going to be in this role, or did you have other ideas?
Well, let's see. For my mom, Beverly, like it was always Wendy. We offered it to nobody else. The minute we got picked up, I think initially back in the early stages, I was like, well, maybe Leah Remini, she's kind of tough, but she's not really like my mom. She's more of like a tough New Yorker. That was the only other person I thought maybe initially. And then once I got picked up, Doug was like, how about Wendy? She was on another Happy Madison show, Rules of Engagement. And the minute he said that, I'm like, "That yes, she is my mom. I saw Bridesmaids. I saw every episode of Reno. Just her attitude, and she's so talented and so funny. So she was like the straight offer, dream casting. And we went to her. I showed her the videos, and she was like, I want to do this. So that was great. And then Jeff, we'd been told that he just wasn't, you know, he had Curb, and he wasn't interested in doing a network show. He had a pilot the year before, and it was a bummer because, like, he's my dad. And I saw so many actors, fantastic actors that auditioned that just were great. They just weren't my dad. Like, I was, you know, I had something so specific in mind. And, you know, actors, hey, there's Jeff Garlin right now. Okay.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, he just walked in my office and waved and said, enjoy your interview. So when we had heard he wasn't interested, it was just a huge bummer because I'm like, that guy is my dad. And he then read the script and called his agents and was like, okay. And they were like, okay, what? He's like, I want to do this. And when he walked in, he looked at me and he said, if I can do this half as well as I know I can, it's going to be great. So he's my dad. He dresses in identical clothes, and my dad passed away, 5 years ago. So it's like to resurrect my dad every week, to have this guy who just always reminded me of my dad, playing my dad, dressed like my dad. It's just so surreal. And then going to Barry, I mean, I think he's like the breakout. Look, it's a funny character, and it's so true to my brother. I was just hanging with the real Barry, and he was like, there's so many things in this show that he's like, you've gotten dead right. The one scene where Barry, Pops is giving Adam love advice, and Barry is like eating a popsicle and just appearing in every doorway, giving comments and storming off and then coming back. Like, Barry was like, that was so me to a T. That, you know, Troy is just, he's just one of those actors. He came in and he just has that, he was a kid actor, so he's so skilled and really funny, but he just also has that spirit of my brother. Just, he can scream and yell and throw a tantrum, but you still love him. And then casting me was totally surreal. You know, it was, Sean had never acted ever. He had done one commercial and a couple voiceover things. He had, I don't think, ever stepped foot on a TV set before. And, you know, he just was a real kid. He lives in Chicago. That's what I loved about him. And he's so funny and so sweet and smart and totally is into all those, like, geeky things. I mean, I, that's how I pitched the Adam character, was just a kid. Everything in his world is movies. It's me growing up. Everything is movies and TV and robots. And Sean, like, when he got to wear that Ghostbusters costume, the first thing he was like, I'm keeping this. I don't care. So he, you know, even though he's younger, he has older brother and just loves that stuff too. And then George Segal, like, again, the only person I wanted, showed him the video of my grandfather and he's phenomenal. And then finally I have, you know, Erica was the only thing that, like, veers from the reality is I have an older brother, Eric. And I just thought, cause Barry was going to be such a big, specific older brother character. I thought it would be really interesting to inject, like, what would it be like if I had a sister, just those father-daughter dynamics, the mother-daughter dynamics. I took all of the kind of rebellious spirit of my older brother, Eric, who was always getting into trouble and just doing literally the opposite of what my parents said, and put that into Erica. So I'm really happy with that decision because it opens up so many story ideas for us.
Now, how did you rope in Patton Oswalt to be the narrator for this?
Well, it's interesting, like, you know, you have, like, your voice. At first, like, you know, there were people like, you should do it. It's your show. It's your story. And I'm a terrible actor. So, but I'm like, okay, who's, like, the person that's me that's a celebrity? And I know every routine. Like, I have all his comedy albums. I've listened to them dozens of times. He does one routine about when he was in college, there was, like, a problem about the Enterprise and Captain Kirk, and he went up and argued with the professor that it wasn't true to canon, basically. So when I heard that routine, I'm like, this guy is me. He was, again, the one person I wanted, and we went to him, and he's just so funny and so great, and I love all his work, and he saw the videos as well and read the script and loved it and wanted to do it.
Well, I've got to say, Adam, you've definitely got a wonderful product here, and it's one of those shows that actually has a lot of heart, and I actually wanted to share something with you. I mentioned this on Twitter. You may not have seen it, but I was watching the Thanksgiving episode,
sure.
And at the point where your dad and his brother make up, I actually teared up during that moment, and I've never had a network comedy do that to me. So, and I think that's the...
Thank you.
Well, that's the power of the show. The fact that it is... I haven't had, in my opinion, a real comedy family come along in a really long time that felt kind of genuine. The only other one I could think of is maybe That 70s Show. And I think there's something
right
about period pieces like that show and this one. And there's just something about the family dynamic there that always seems a little more real. As you
sure
describe it as that hazy remembrance, but you always remember those things. They tend to stick out more.
Yeah. Well, also, it probably helped that Night Ranger was playing, too.
Yeah.
Really that's like, I've discovered it's the ultimate cheat. No matter how lousy your episode is, if you play some epic 80s ballad, people are going to go, this is pretty good. Yeah. But, no, thank you for that. And it's definitely what I'm going for. I mean, you know, the reviews on the show are definitely always been polarizing. It's loud, and the family, you know, the family, they scream at each other. But everyone has pointed out that there's nice, like, family lessons at the end, and parents can watch it with their kids. And that makes me really happy because there's so many shows that are amazing joke machines, 30 Rock. I mean, that show is like the joke ratio in that show is I would never be able to do it. Those writers were so talented and so funny. But for me, you know, Wonder Years, like, the way that show would make you laugh and also cry, I thought was a really special thing, which was just something I definitely wanted to try and do with this one.
So I guess, Adam, as my final question to you, where do you want the series to go in, say, a year, 5 years, and then when it's finally over?
So I guess it goes into the 90s in eventually, right? But no, I guess here's the thing, like, the thing about a family show, I think, in my family, we haven't changed. We still argue over the same things we argue in those videotapes from 30 years ago. So I think ultimately I don't want this family to like change too much. I think the stories are just going to, and I want to do these iconic kind of story, universal stories that everyone relates to. And as the kids get older, those stories will go from, you know, Adam, I'm doing one story about Adam finally has a girlfriend and he has to give away his childhood toys. The stories will kind of veer away from that, your first dance, all those things, to more teenage, you know, growing pains type stories. I think that's where the series will grow to, the kids eventually going to college and all that kind of stuff, what they're dealing with in Modern Family now as those kids grow up. But as far as the parents, like, they don't change. They're like, my mom is still that same boundaryless ballbuster that Wendy plays. So I think this should be one of those shows where at any point you could turn on the TV, even if you've been away for a year, and you go, oh yeah, okay, like I know this. And it always feels familiar, and that it always knows what it is and has that formula. That's kind of what I want. Big Bang, they've added cast members, it's still the same as when it began. And that's what I love about that show, is I could go away from that show for a year, you know, and come back and just pick up right where I left off and not miss a beat.
So, actually one more thing that
sure.
I wanted to ask, when this show eventually gets its release on DVD and Blu-ray.
Yes.
Any idea on what you'd want to do for like special features?
Oh man. That's a great question. I don't know. God, I would love, if my family was up to it, I'd love a little interview piece with them. Although I think they want to maintain some kind of privacy just because it's all so out there right now. I would love to do a piece about all of the figures and toys that I've amassed on the show, and do a piece about, because I think the set design is so great. And something I've had a big hand in terms of Adam's room and the basement and all those kind of stuff. And maybe just a piece on the 80s. This show is like embraced being like incredibly anachronistic. But I think there's, you know, we're hitting so many things. I would love to have a little like mini doc or something about the 80s, or interviewing some of these people. Like we're doing a Karate Kid episode, so. It's not a kind of show where I can get Ralph Macchio on there and Billy Zabka, but to do a little piece interviewing them or something, that would be cool.
Well, I gotta say, Adam, I wish you the best of success. I really hope there's a season 2, 3, 4, and a movie at some point
you.
Down the road.
Thank you.
So when does the show come back in January?
God, that's a good question. I know for this Tuesday and next Tuesday we have episodes. And then I think first week in January it's back on Tuesday, I believe. As the show progresses and they give me more leeway, it definitely gets geekier and geekier. I with that Tron episode, and you see Adam in that outfit, like that was like one of the best moments of the show for me, because it was like directly from me as a kid. So the best thing about it, as these episodes go on, I get to continue to kind of explore all that stuff, which in the beginning I think I was a little hesitant on exploring.
Well, I got to say, man, thank you for spending time with us today. I just want you to hold the line for just a second.
Sure.
Well, guys, that was my interview with Adam Goldberg. Seriously, if you guys haven't checked this show out, do yourself a favor. such an attention to details. Even their Ghostbusters costumes they did for their Halloween episode, friggin' awesome. And the show's a laugh a minute. I really enjoy it. So be sure to follow them on Twitter. I'll post the links in the episode post below. And be sure to be checking this out in January. And it usually, and it's always on after S.H.I.E.L.D. So this way you don't have to get off the couch. So anyway, guys, until next time, I've been Mike the Birdman Dodd for ThisWeekInGeek.net saying live free or die hard. And I'll catch you guys again next time right here on ThisWeekInGeek.net.
Want to see me make bubbles with my spit?
Sure do. In fact, that's the theme of our next show. So don't miss it.
What the hell happened to George Lucas?
Oh my God, there's snot on my face. And I'm your host, Mike the Birdman Dub. And I'm not a join. Not a join. What the f*** does that mean? F*** that. 10 seconds.
No, you gotta keep that.
Let's do this. Let's do this right the first time.
F*** you guys. Ew, it's in my mouth. Oh, God.
Oh, what's it taste like, Mike?
Water. Ew, salty.
Let's start this episode with shat.
Okay, I'm good. Geico.
Holy shit. Oh my gosh, freak! Die! Holy crap! Whoa! Where did it go?
I'm like a stupid monkey.
As you can imagine, they don't let us out much.
You've been listening to This Week in Geek. Tune in next week to hear, somebody random. I don't know. Maybe even a hot chick. Yeah, let's go with that.
Did anyone ever tell you that you were very, very sexy?
How are you? Actually, no.
They never will.
Check out our website, thisweekingeek.net, for more geek content, as well subscribe to our podcast through iTunes or any podcatcher. If you'd like to comment on this episode, head to this episode post on thisweekingeek.net and comment through Facebook Connect. Or you can call our voicemail line at 817-717-7202. Send us a Twitter message by @replying to @ThisWeekInGeek. Lastly, you can email us at feedback@ThisWeekInGeek.net. This extra music was produced by Pronobozo at PronoBozo.com. We'll see you next time, and remember,
lower your shields and surrender your listenership.